Thank you, Deborah, and thank you all for attending our session this morning. I will be speaking to you all about a small initiative in Los Angeles County working with loncheras, or traditional Latino food trucks, to promote healthier, more balanced meals. Quickly, as you can all see, I did not appropriately insert the disclosure slide, but I will let you all know I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. I will disclose to you I'm not great at following instructions, so there's that. But as I said, we're working with a small group of loncheras, or traditional Latino food trucks. Most of the time when people hear the word food trucks, their mind kind of instantly goes to the gourmet, trendy food trucks that we see popping up all over the country. And I just wanted to orient you to the group of food trucks that we were working with. They tend to be family-owned, so oftentimes they have family members working on the truck, and it's something that's been in their family for 10, 15, 20 years. Their business model tends to be very informal. Most of the trucks that we worked with are cash-only businesses. They have hours of operations, but they tend to be somewhat flexible and fluid, and their menus tend to be very culturally based. In the case of our initiative, we were working primarily with lonchera owners who were originally from Mexico, and so their menus have tended to reflect their origins. In terms of the existing body of research on loncheras, that's not a very big selection of articles that have or research that's been conducted. It's largely focused on the cultural roles that loncheras play in their communities, as well as how some of the health regulations and parking restrictions may impact their businesses. Now, our study was largely motivated by the fact that Latinos, in general, living in the United States, have higher rates of obesity and obesity-related health problems than non-Latino populations. And loncheras offer, as an alternative dining out option, loncheras offer affordable, unprocessed meals, usually with fresh ingredients. The problem, though, is that, as we've actually heard from our other two speakers, they're serving large portions with too many calories, almost no whole grains, very few vegetables, and even fewer fruits. So as a result, we developed this program that we call Eating Well with Loncheras. It's an ongoing pilot study, and we're attempting to estimate the feasibility of loncheras offering meals to their customers that meet the MyPlate guidelines. And when I say feasibility, what I'm referring to is, one, are customers purchasing these meals? Are people open to eating healthier, more balanced meals at loncheras? And two, are loncheras able to profit from the sales of these meals? Ultimately, we're working with business owners, and so for them, for a lonchera to buy into this type of program, it needs to be successful in terms of a profit-making endeavor. As part of our project staff, we worked with a nutritionist, and she worked individually with each of our study participants to help develop them what we called La Comida Perfecta. And that's a term that we use to encompass all of the meals that were developed under this program. And for those who don't speak Spanish, basically what that means is the perfect meal or the perfect plate of food. In working with each participant individually, we gave them all scales and cups as a guide to help them with their measuring as they got used to serving smaller portion sizes and having requirements in terms of the different food groups. Once our participants were ready to begin selling these meals, we promoted them through signage. We worked with a food photographer who took pictures of all of the plates, and we developed signs. The photographer was also a graphic designer and helped design signs, working with each participant individually. And as you can see, this is our logo that we developed, and we had this logo on all of the signs. So customers going to this truck, the idea being that they would see this logo and that they would know that these meals are more healthy and balanced. We also gave all of our participants $102 off coupons in hopes to incentivize people to purchase the meals. And then finally, we had a few stories featured in print media and one on a local Spanish news station that promoted both the program and some of the program's participants. Study participation for each lonchera lasted 6 months, or will last 6 months, and at the end of participation, loncheras received or will receive a check for $250 as incentive. Now, as I mentioned, we used the MyPlate guidelines as a guide for how we wanted these meals to be developed. For those of you who aren't familiar or who might need a refresher, here they are. You can see, in terms of the total calorie count, we went a little bit higher for adults for lunch and dinner meals at 700 calories. You can see the different food groups and the portion sizes that were allowed within each food group. One thing that I didn't include on the slide, but with lean meat, we allowed up to 3 ounces of a lean meat. So you can just kind of see what what types of meals were being developed in terms of portion sizes and food groups. Now, in total, our original goal was to recruit 20 participants. We ended up enrolling 23. Unfortunately, 10 withdrew for various reasons during the development stage of the program. We had a few who ended up selling their business. We also had a couple who, at the time they enrolled, were not up to date with their licensing and were never able to get up to date with their licensing to begin selling the meals. So in the end, we ended up with 13 participants who designed and are selling 50 different La Comida Perfectas. You can see the list of loncheras that we're working with, and we've just, to give you a sense of the type of food trucks that they are, we've organized them in different categories by the type of food. As I mentioned, most of the lonchera owners were of Mexican origin, so many of them, six to be exact, sold traditional Mexican food and what people often refer to as taco trucks. So they had tacos, burritos, quesadillas. We had three that specialized in Mexican seafood. And then we had another four that, in addition to kind of the traditional Mexican fare, also served sandwiches. We had a few that offer salads, hamburgers, and they fall into the other category. In terms of their business hours, we had 7 that were open during lunch or breakfast and lunch. We had 3 that were open during lunch and dinner, and then we had another 3 that opened around dinner time and closed more or less when the bars in the area closed. In terms of the neighborhoods where they operated in, the most common neighborhood was actually a mixed, and this was usually a mix of residential and commercial or industrial. When I'm saying commercial, we're referring to mostly white-collar jobs in the area, and industrial refers to more blue-collar jobs. We then had 4 that operated primarily in commercial neighborhoods, and then 2 each in residential and industrial neighborhoods. In terms of data collection, we are administering 2 types of surveys. The surveys occur or were administered or distributed at the truck, and they're offered in both English and Spanish. We are administering customer surveys, and those surveys are eligible to all customers that are purchasing a meal at that particular truck. It's administered by a community health worker on a tablet, and we're conducting 6 to 8 surveys per month per participant. So if you recall, study participation is 6 months. So at the end, when we've completed the program, we expect to have just a little less than 650 customer surveys. As I mentioned, we're also giving $2 off coupons to all of our participants. On the back of each coupon is a survey. Those surveys, though, are only available to customers who are purchasing a meal that's part of this program. So the essential process is that someone would go to one of our participants and purchase one of our program meals. Whoever's taking order would then give that person a $2 off coupon with the brief survey on the back, and that person could complete the survey at the truck at that moment and redeem it for their current purchase or take it back to their office or to their home, fill it out, and the next time they visit the truck, use it for a future purchase. To date, we've collected 300. Obviously, if we've distributed 100 to 13 participants, we have 1,300 coupons that have been given out. So we're hoping that as we approach the end of this study, we'll have more coupons returned and a little bit more data with which we can analyze. In terms of the customer characteristics, now these characteristics come entirely from the customer surveys. The space restriction on the coupon limited the number of questions we were able to ask. So most of these, as I said, all of this data comes from the customer surveys, which was an in-person survey. As you can see, the customers we surveyed are predominantly male. It's a customer base that is of working class, tending towards the younger ages. Over 80% are between the ages of 21 and 49. Over 90% are Latino. I think the next 2 points are very interesting. You see that 60% of the people we've surveyed are visiting food trucks in general at least once a week, and almost 50%, 47% of the people we surveyed are visiting that particular truck at least once a week. When you extend that to at least twice a week, I believe off the top of my head the number's around 30%. So you can see that people are going to these trucks very often. The main reasons that people are visiting that particular truck is that they like the food, the tastiness of the food, and the location is also a key factor in why people are going to that truck. Now, in terms of comparing our customers by the order that they made, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of data on those who are ordering one of our program meals. Again, that's restricted by the space on the back of the coupon. But we have 319 orders of the La Comida Perfecta and 309 other orders. The Program meals or the survey data is largely coming from the coupons, but you can see there's a significant gender difference in terms of who is ordering these meals, that we have over 50% of customers purchasing a La Comida Perfecta are female versus all other orders at 32%. We can also compare across age, and to date with the coupons that or the surveys that we have and the data that we haven't found any difference in customer age by the type of order that was made. Now, all of our surveys include plate rating data, so we asked our all of the customers who complete a survey to rate the whatever meal they purchased at the time they were surveyed. All of our scales range from 1 to 10, and all of the scales except for portion size of 1 indicates the lowest possible rating, 10 indicates the highest possible rating. You can see the second column is the La Comida Perfecta meals, and the third column are all other orders. With the tastiness rating, you can see more or less there's no difference by order type in terms of how people are rating that food on its tastiness. Perhaps you could argue that there's a slight trend in favor of other orders. In terms of portion size, I mentioned that scale is slightly different. 1 on portion size indicates the meal was too small, 10 indicates it was too big, and 5 indicates it was just right. You can see, though, based on order type, there's no real difference in terms of portion size rating. The same holds true for the value rating. There's no real difference in terms of how customers rated meals based on the value. In terms of healthiness, obviously, we were very happy to see that customers ordering one of our program meals rated it on average healthier than customers ordering something else, and that was statistically significant. And the same holds true for recommendation, that customers on average gave our meals a higher recommendation rating than other meals. Not surprisingly, if you look at these ratings, regardless of meal type, the ratings are pretty high, and so over 90% of customers, regardless of order, said that they would purchase that particular meal again. Now, we were also interested in finding out, for those people who didn't order one of our program meals, why didn't they order it? What was it about it, the meal that they didn't? Why didn't they want it? Was there, you know, what was the underlying cause? And this entirely comes from our customer surveys. You can see that over 70% of the customers that we surveyed didn't order the meal because they ordered their favorite or their usual, or they came to the truck with a meal in mind already. I haven't mentioned this yet, but most of our loncheras didn't change their menus. Or never changed their menus. So we have people for the past 10 years basically selling the same food every day. And so it's not a surprise for customers who are regular that they would already know what they want to order before they get there. We had about 30% who didn't notice the signage. We did our best to place signs near order windows in really high visible locations. Unfortunately, that wasn't always possible. And depending on the truck, there were some signs or some trucks that had a lot more signage on it already. And so there was a bit more competition for our signs. About 20% disliked an ingredient. Primarily, people indicated a particular fruit or vegetable that they saw on the sign. We also had some people who indicated yogurt. We had some issues in terms of introducing a dairy product into our seafood dishes. We ended up doing yogurt with some fresh fruit, which turned out to not be a very popular mix of food. We had 12% who didn't like the name, 4% who said it didn't look tasty, another 4% who thought it was too much food, and 3% who wanted something quicker. So just to kind of summarize the key points that we're seeing from our surveys thus far, I think we can certainly say that loncheras have a significant impact on their customers' diets. I mean, based on the frequency with which we see their customers going to eat at their trucks, they're going to have a large impact on their habits and their health, or their dietary habits and their health. I think it's also very evident that these customers have very strong predetermined preferences. As I mentioned, over 70% of the people had already decided what they were going to order before they got there. Certainly, we can say that we're seeing significant gender differences in terms of who's ordering these meals versus not. I'd also say it's possible that signage may play a role in whether people purchase the plate or not. We have, as I said, almost 30% of the people didn't even notice the signs, weren't aware that the meals were available. I think we can also say that financial incentives may influence whether people order one of these healthy meals or not. And in terms of looking at the positive side of what we've seen thus far, we're very happy to see that the meals with this program are rated very comparably to other meals being sold at loncheras, and that, in fact, in terms of healthiness and in terms of recommendation, they're actually rated better. So in terms of what all of this means from a policy perspective, in terms of what we can do, think about doing moving forward, I think first and foremost it's important to say that availability alone is not sufficient to improve most customers' eating habits at loncheras. You know, as you've seen, we've introduced these meals at 13 different lunch trucks, and unfortunately have not seen, we were hoping, I think, to see a little bit more uptick in the sales of these meals, and that hasn't been the case. A large driver of this is likely the fact that we're dealing with a customer base that has very habitual and difficult to change behaviors. And as I've mentioned a few times, these customers are going very often to these trucks. And in addition to that, they're going to these trucks already knowing what they want to order. I would like to point out, though, I think we can infer that customers are open to changing their dietary habits, or at least some of the customers are open to changing their dietary habits. And I mean this in two senses. One, certainly we have seen people buy these meals, so obviously there are people who are interested in going to these trucks and finding something healthier, more balanced to eat. But on top of that, when they buy these meals, they like them. So again, it's not only being open to trying them, but being open to the fact that it's, you know, eating healthy doesn't have to be something that doesn't also taste good. Ultimately, I think the focus really, though, in terms of any type of policy action needs to be on trying to reduce the demand of these other meals that aren't healthy or as healthy, aren't as balanced. And certainly, there needs to be some direct policy action that is going to have to take place in order to change the habits and improve customer diets at Loncheras. I think certainly there are legislative options or ordinances at a municipal level that could help to reduce the demand. I also think that there's some opportunity in terms of working maybe a little bit more closely with Loncheras and maybe asking for a little bit more buy-in. In the marketing world, I believe the term is called a downstream policy, but it's targeting people whose behaviors are habitual and already ingrained and trying to change the environment in which these behaviors exist. So as I mentioned, I mean, one thing you could think about doing, or someone could think about doing, is working with a Lonchera for one day a week. They completely revamp their menu, except for they continue to offer these healthy meals. And so on that day, when their menu has changed, their regular customers who have these habitual behaviors are forced out of this environment where they're making these decisions based on habit. And on those days, we ask the Loncheras to promote the healthier meals. I think another option in terms of, again, it would require some buy-in from the Loncheras, but you could potentially work with two different Loncheras and one day a week ask them to change locations. As I mentioned earlier, location is a main driver for why people go to eat at these places. So the idea behind it would be, again, we reintroduce a new environment to these habitually behaving customers in the hopes that, you know, this new environment allows them an opportunity to break from their habit and try healthier meals. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your attention this morning.